Hello, everyone. This is Eric Pennington, and welcome to the Spirit of EQ podcast. We're glad that you've tuned in. A few things we wanted to tell you at the beginning of the show, and that's this podcast was created to be a tool to help you, primarily to discover and grow your EQ. Science and our own lived experiences confirm that the better we are at managing our emotions, the better we're going to be at making decisions, which leads to a better life. And that's something we all want. We're glad that you've taken out the time today to listen and hope that something that you hear will lead to a breakthrough. Hey, one last thing. We'd really appreciate a review on whichever platform you use to listen. And if you want to, leave some comments about what you heard today, as well as follow and subscribe. That way you won't miss a single episode as we continue this journey. And with that, the show begins. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Eric.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
You know, when I was, I don't know when we were talking about it, but are you a fan of diners?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the place to eat.
Yeah. You know, I haven't been to a ton of them, but the ones that I have been to, really, really good food.
Mm-hmm.
So for our audience, if you think we're getting ready to go in to do a food episode, that would not, you should not feel that way. We are not turned into food critics.
No.
By any stretch. But I am thinking about who's the guy that has the show, Dumps and Diners or Diners and, what is his name?
Is that Guy? No, not Guy Fieri.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Could be, but okay. Yeah, he goes to these places.
Which is another reason why you and I are not doing a food episode, because we don't know. But the reason I asked that is because you're talking about this place called Jenny's Diner, which is not, I mean, it's local to where we're at. But
yeah.
This
is an unpaid
commercial.
A commercial.
First advertising.
No, it's for our people here in Central Ohio. It's on North High Street here in Columbus, just south of Morse Road. Okay. We've been there about a year and a half.
All right.
There's a commercial.
Right. So you had an experience there. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sunday, Michelle and I, my wife, we're going to go one place and it was closed. And then I go, there's this place around, and Michelle never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So we let's go to Jenny's. And we got there and walked in, and it's a typical diner. If you've not been to an American-style diner, you walk in, usually on one side there's a row of booths, and on the other side is a counter. And then behind the counter, they're cooking the food right where you can watch them. So there's no mystery about what's going on.
It's so amazing to me, Jeff, because my last experience with a diner was exactly like that. It was set up exactly how you described it.
Yeah. It could be either right-handed or left-handed.
Yeah.
It just depends on which way it sits.
Yep.
That's just what they are. And we walked in. It was just after noon on Sunday, and it was very, very busy. And all the booths were full, and there was people waiting for booths, and so we sat at the counter, and the counter has got a long side and then a short side at the front, and we sat on two of the seats on the short side so we could see everything going on except the people in the little waiting area.
Right.
So that's where we were.
Wow. And you, just so our audience knows, I mean, you had your radar on, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I was just very aware of what was going on in there. I don't know if it was just the feeling of the place or what, but I just really started paying attention to what was happening with the people in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. And I just observed a lot of things that I thought was really cool.
So let me start with, and I want to touch on maybe multiple people that
mm-hmm.
were there. What did you notice about the people who worked there?
They were nonstop, constant,
high-paced, right?
High-paced, very friendly. It was really cool to see how they worked together. If they started running low on coffee cups, whoever didn't have something in their hand at that time went to the back of the place, got the rack of coffee cups out of the dishwasher and brought it up. Or, hey, I need more pancake batter. So somebody else would go back to the walk-in and bring it. It wasn't like you're the people preparing the food. We're the people serving the food, and we don't cross.
This is maybe an odd question within that. Did you? I know you could not
possibly know because you'd have to read minds, but did you get a sense that they cared about one another?
Yeah, I did. You could just see how they interacted. You know, if you've not been in a diner and you're behind the counter, you're going to bump into each other. They would bump into each other and they would just laugh and, you know, just carry on. Nobody was getting mad if somebody did that or got in their way. But you could tell that they enjoyed working with each other. It was just a feeling that I had, and you could just see how they were acting.
So, and I don't know anything about this diner as far as the owner and how they pay their people and all that good stuff. But typically, you would not expect that these are not high-paying jobs. And
no.
And I'm maybe coming at this from the back end to maybe dispel the idea that, you know, the only way you can be happy in a job is if you're being paid a lot of money. So,
I think there's lots of studies that say the pay does not directly relate to how much you make.
So through observation, right? And if all that you describe does describe their feelings toward one another as, you know, employees, and recognizing that everybody has a bad day, so it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows, right? Do you feel like you got a sense that these are people who truly wanted to be there?
Yeah, you could tell that. I mean, I've been in the workforce a long time, and I know when I didn't want to be there, people could tell.
Right.
And when I was around somebody that, you know, like you said, it could be they were just having a bad day that day or something. But yeah, you can tell. Just pay attention to the body language and just watch.
So, you know, two things come to my mind. I mean, intrinsic motivation as a competency seems to kind of connect here based on what you observed and maybe some of the healthy assumptions that these are not necessarily people who are, you know, building a long-term career of being a waiter, waitress, busboy, busgirl, whatever you want to call it. But you mentioned something about empathy.
Yeah, you could just tell. I think the empathy is when something needed to be done. You know, okay, the guy at the...
Oh, yeah. I guess now I'm tracking with you better because I know we talked about empathy before we started recording, but you're talking about this sort of, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you didn't have people who were saying, hey, look, I'm the hostess.
So right.
You got to figure out the coffee cups thing on your own.
Yeah, you could tell that, okay, I just took food out to you know, some of my customers, but, you know, I see we need to do this, and I see that you're slammed right now. You've got 20 orders you're trying to get out on the grill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand that. I feel that you're, you know, so I'll just go get the coffee cups or whatever, or, you know, take the dirty dishes back or whatever. You know, if this server was busy and somebody left in their area, okay, I'll go ahead and take those dirty dishes. They're not technically my dirty dishes.
Yeah.
They belong to whoever. And I'm just going to do that because...
So you get a blend of the intrinsic plus the empathy.
Yeah. That, okay, we're busy.
Yeah.
We all can feel busy. So when we feel busy, we can feel stress and everything. So maybe it was a corporate empathy. I don't know.
Well, but you know what, though? I'm thinking about this, Jeff. I mean, and I know that in working with our clients, you know, I really try to emphasize the intentionality of using the competencies, right? And in the beginning, yeah, it does feel clunky that someone might go, oh, this is a place where I should use empathy. And I realize that at some point, as you grow in your practice of EQ, these are things that you go to innately because you've built maybe a neural pathway around it, right? So a la, and I, again, you didn't do an EQ interview of employees or anything. But
thought about it, but no.
and you know, let's face it, to a certain degree, you know, you might have grown that empathy muscle because you had two parents that made it very clear that it's important. So that's not to say that, hey, if you haven't studied or taken an assessment, that you can't be very empathetic.
We've talked about it, that what we do is teach people to use what they have already there.
Yeah, yeah. Great point. Yeah, because I guess where I'm going with that is that, you know, in that environment, high-paced, high-stress, I think if you're a listener out there now and you're going, wow, that's a good story. Well, that's really great how they I could see the intrinsic and the empathy. You can ratchet that up notches by applying some intentionality
in
your own process. Mm-hmm. Because where I was going to go to, I find it fascinating is that a lot of larger, maybe more formal business environments struggle with what you just described.
Right.
I mean, is there a correlation there that maybe, I don't know, where would you go with that? I have an idea, but I want to get your
thoughts. I thinking about that, you know, I don't know how they treat each other when there's no customers in there.
Right.
But sure. I've got a feeling that they are developing this community of people that work there.
Mm-hmm.
That this is how we as a community, this is how we treat each other. This is how we treat our patrons. And that's what I think it is. It's just it's a practice that they developed. You know, I've never met the owner, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
She could be exceptionally emotionally intelligent and either through knowing about it or just naturally, and that comes from her. Who knows where it's coming from? But I think there's something there that somebody that is one of the leaders in that place, whether it's the actual owner, whether it's just it could be the busboy, is super emotional intelligent. Yeah. But I think it's a part of a community they've developed.
Yeah. So that leads to another great place to explore, right? This idea of community, because most businesses, I think, sort of structure themselves around the business idea, right?
The product.
Exactly. So you and I develop a fill in the blank, a tool, a technology, a service.
Mm-hmm.
Then we figure out how do we get that out to the marketplace.
Right.
And then we hire people to help support that offering.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as that, I think, is reasonable and to a certain degree right, if you're not careful, you might forget that those people, those human beings you hired, right, they can turn into just cogs and means to an end, meaning I hired you, Jeff, because you've got to take care of the financial side of sending out invoices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I hired you, right? And that's what I need from you. And again, I'm not dismissing the fact that they needed someone who could do that.
I think they missed the point of when they hire me, they're hiring my family in a way. Ooh. They're hiring my happy times. They're hiring my downtimes,
your health,
my health, all that. I think we forget that when we're hiring somebody.
And please, I am not saying that you should throw out the model of product.
Right. No.
Sales and marketing, support and all that. You do need that. But as we've talked about it, and maybe this is where our championing of the term non-dualistic thinking. Says that the two can coexist. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can have a product. I have sales and marketing, operations, finance. I can have all that structured, and I need people, and I hire people for that. But I can also create a community.
Yeah, they can coexist symbiotically. I think that's the right word. Instead of a parasitic relationship.
Right? And I wonder if that maybe is one of the things that gets missed. Maybe every business, once they've determined what the product is, once what they've
how to get it out,
the support of it, and all of that, that they've got to not stop there. They need to build a community, and that community is the company, people, right? To Because I think if you don't do that, I think there's a couple of things that come to my mind that will go sideways.
Mm-hmm.
You probably won't have that intrinsic and empathetic workforce.
No.
Right? And more than likely, your people are going to feel unseen and unheard.
Right.
Which will more than likely lead to them leaving.
Or just showing up.
Yeah. Quitting but staying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's pivot. The people that were probably most impacted by that mm-hmm. intrinsic and empathetic workforce are the customers.
Yeah. And like I said, where Michelle and I were sitting, mm-hmm. we could see everybody.
Yep.
Everybody that was getting their food. And it was just really interesting. You know, usually you go into a restaurant, you're at your booth, and you're kind of in a little bubble.
Right.
It just is. And you'll see family members on their phone the whole time, not mm-hmm. talking to each other.
Right.
There was very few people that had their phone out, even just sitting on the table. It was, you just didn't see it.
So was there a pretty diverse customer
base? Oh,
yeah, basis?
It was.
Is it related? And where I'm going with that is from an age perspective.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from little kids to people older than us.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And at different
but
races.
Very few cell phones out.
Very few cell phones out. That area that is where they're at in Columbus is kind of a very diverse neighborhood. Mm-hmm. As far as racial, political views, everything,
mm-hmm.
and that's who were in this restaurant.
So, what would you say? And I know it's a guess based on observation. Why do you think this restaurant was so free of cell phone usage and looking at screen?
I think it was just the atmosphere. You saw people talking, and it wasn't just at your booth. You'd talk to the servers as they went by, or you'd see people leaning over the shoulder and talking to the booth behind them.
Did you get a sense that the customers and some of them knew each other?
Yeah, the fellow that sat right next to me was a regular. Mm-hmm. I think his name was Walt. Well, he threw him a curve. He didn't get his regular. He got their chili and a grilled cheese sandwich. And we had a long conversation about the difference of Ohio chili and Texas chili. If you say beans in Texas, you'll get shot. And if you're getting chili in Ohio, it's probably going to have beans in it. That's just the difference. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that.
Okay.
At different things. And so you felt, my wife was talking to the person sitting right next to her. You just felt that this was a safe place to do that. That these hot button issues are not going to come up in here. We're here to enjoy a meal.
Yeah. And I, you know, what you're describing maybe is a hopeful sign because I recently listened to a podcast episode from Scott Galloway. He has his main podcast, and then I think this is sort of an ancillary to it, and it's called No Mercy, No Malice.
Okay.
It was on the subject of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just drawing so many conclusions about how that is a pervasive thing, right? In as much as it's kind of rampant. And he's using comparisons to how much existence is online versus in the real.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings out some very powerful points about what it means to be a human being and how we were made, and that we were not made to be so involved in a world that really has no intimacy, has no real connection, though it might market itself as that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear you talking about these customers, and I mean, you're illustrating that basic need for social interaction.
Yeah, and I just thought of something. Nowadays, you go into a restaurant, they have the QR code to scan to get your...
Like the menu.
Get your menu. Like, so you got to have your phone out.
Right.
They didn't have any QR codes
Right.
They had a menu.
Yeah. Well, and you know, in fairness too, I mean, I don't know if it is would be interpreted as what we said earlier, that somehow we've been forced to be on the screen so much and on the phone, on our phones. Because I think there is an element of responsibility that, you know, Jeff, if I go out to dinner with you and your wife, I owe you the respect of not having my phone. And here's what's interesting. Some people might say, well, I just have my phone out and it's turned over. No, I to me, it's like my phone should not be near me. It should be either in my pocket, and if I'm at home, on the counter, away from where there is this meal, this interaction is happening. And I think, you know, we almost, I maybe it's going to sound strong, but it would be disrespectful to the other human being across from you if you do have it out. And let's face it, Jeff, is there anything that I'm involved in that's so, so important that I cannot allow my phone to just be untouched?
There can be, but very, 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 very few.
And, you know, if you're really concerned about someone being able to get a hold of you, you can always tell your wife or husband or partner, whatever, text me twice in a row, and I'll know that I need to check that.
Right.
And then when that happens, I can say, Jeff, this is probably important. I need to look at this.
And that is
And nobody's going to be in an uproar because you did that. So
one more thing about the, the customers. If you've ever been to an old-fashioned barbershop, there's no waiting list when you go in. You know, so the 15 people in the barbershop sitting around reading their you know, 6-year-old news magazines or whatever, and the barber goes, who's next? It's up to the customers on an honor system to know who's the next one in line. That's the way they did it here. There was no wait list. There was no little light-up hockey puck things.
Right.
When a table was empty, somebody in there would go, who's next? Yeah. And they would look around at each other and go, oh, I guess it's me. And they would, that's how they did it. So there was, I just thought that was kind of cool to see that.
Oh, yeah. And and as our audience knows, Jeff, we're not out here trying to tell a restaurant or how to determine whether we're a waiting list or not. It's not that at all. It's just, I think this is really a snapshot of, and where I'm going to go next is about this idea about, can you have a community with diverse points of view, backgrounds, and the like? And once again, I know you did not have the power to read the minds of everyone in the room. You couldn't determine how many were Democrats versus Republicans and how many were from a foreign country or from the U.S. and all of that. But I'm of the mind, and I had this conversation with a client last week that, and I'm only basing this, Jeff, on my experience, my lived experience.
Okay.
So it's limited, but that's what I can go by. Whenever I've had the toughest of times, whether it was yesterday or 20 years ago, there's always been a significant amount of compassion and empathy and genuine outreach to me. And when you think about in the United States, where, you know, we hear it so often, how divided we are, right? And I'm not trying to dispute that. Maybe we are to a degree. But it's interesting to me, okay, you're in a diner and it's a Sunday afternoon in late August, early September. I had a situation last year, multiple situations, which you're aware of, and so is our audience, where the bottom fell out. So take those as two polar opposites. And it's kind of like, Jeff, I'm not so sure we're as divided as we've been told we are. And I get it. Who you vote for versus who I vote for, who do you think is a good and who, that may differ. And more often than not, it does. But are we really? Or are we really, most people just like, oh, here, you dropped your pen. Oh, here, no, you can go first.
Are we being told we're divided?
And it makes me think that it's part of a manipulation more than it is an observation of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is not solved on the Spirit of EQ podcast, but it comes to my mind because I think what you're illustrating, there's so many signs pointing to maybe, again, maybe we're not as divided as we've been told we should be,
mm-hmm.
or that we are.
Yeah.
Thought.
Yeah.
And now back to the episode. And we'll be back to the episode after this. Jeff, what is the SEQ Development Report?
I'm glad you asked me that, Eric. The SEQ Development Report is something that we here at Spirit of EQ have developed to blend the idea of emotional intelligence with a person's spiritual life. And we're not talking about religion. We're talking about how they connect with themselves, other people, and the world around them.
Why is it important?
I think it's important because it allows someone to see where they stand, to give them information about maybe parts of their life they may need to work on, parts of their life that they're really doing well and learn to leverage it. And it just gives a person a better way of getting through the world.
So how do you get this report?
Well, first, you need to contact us.
Mm-hmm.
Info@spiritofeq is just a great way to do it. Then you would take an assessment, 15, 20 minutes, done online. And then after that, the report requires a debrief to go through all the things in it because it's got a ton of information. And then if you want to further your journey, we can do coaching and things like that with you down the road. And that's basically it.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff. I wanted to mention or ask you something
yeah.
else. In the spiritual emotional intelligence, SEQ for uh-huh. short, we have this domain called insight,
mm-hmm.
and it relates to our connection to the world at large.
Mm-hmm.
Any observations about that?
Yeah, and I don't know if I walked in there with that domain floating around in the back of my mind,
yep.
but I felt that this was a good example of this insight of, because, you know, for me, the insight is, I don't want to say a global thing, but it's where everything comes together. It's how we relate to the world at large. And that's what we were doing. This, we were not, you know.
Yeah, because these were outside of your one interaction with the guy sitting next mm-hmm. to you. This was the world at large because you didn't know any of these people,
no.
right?
No, I mean, I'm going to go back because I
right.
like the place.
Right.
But, you know, so I might be able to get into that belonging domain with some of the staff or if the
right.
vault shows back up. But everybody else were part of the world at large.
So for our audience, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about as far as the domains of our SEQ model, spiritual emotional intelligence, sort of the core of that is the domains of life. And I'm mm-hmm. just going to use that for terminology.
Yeah.
There's the awareness domain, which is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's the belonging domain, which is those, your closest others, your closest community. And then insight, which is the world at large. I wanted to kind of point out this with the diner because sometimes when people think insight, the world at large, they think about South Africa and, you know,
which it's part
Saudi
of it.
Arabia. But it also could be 20 miles away from you in a diner.
Well, yeah, this was the world at large that I was a part of
yeah.
at that time.
Yes.
And
I just wanted to throw that out
there.
And
I got to say, I left there feeling much better. Not just because I got a good meal,
yeah.
but I felt energized after we walked out of that place. That's where this episode came from.
So would you say you felt more connected to
yeah,
that side of it?
I felt more, yeah, exactly, more connected to this. It was just a good feeling of being a part of this.
Do you think that muscle grows as, because you mentioned about you're wanting to go back.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, right? Or there's no guarantees that the guy you were talking to about the difference between Ohio chili and Texas chili would be there. So more than likely, you're gonna be in an atmosphere where they're gonna be people you don't know. So I guess where I'm getting to is back to this intentionality thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe sometimes it is an intentional act on our part. If not, oftentimes it's an intentional act on our part to engage that muscle, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I'll connect to the world at large when somebody calls on me to do that.
Or right.
If I happen to be in Arizona for a week,
mm-hmm.
it can be, you know what? We haven't tried that restaurant. Or it could be, you know what? Let's go to that festival. It's the first time. Or I haven't been there forever. Whatever the case may be, there is some things you can do from a proactive perspective versus sort of the reactive side of it.
You know, I had no intention of this happening when we walked in.
Yeah.
We were hungry. Yeah. You know, yeah. I knew the food
basics.
Was yeah, yeah, I knew the food was good.
Yep.
Decent price.
Yep.
Part of the commercial again, sorry.
Nah.
No. But for whatever reason, this was floating around in my head, and I started paying attention to it, and it was well worth it. Not just got an episode out of it, but it was well worth it for my well-being at that time. And still today, I still feel that.
So you're saying there was a return on the investment that maybe you wouldn't have known had you not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful. Well, Jeff, keep on keeping on with the diner thing.
Yeah.
And you can check back with us on your progress at Jenny's Diner.
Okay.
We appreciate you all tuning in as well, and we look forward to the next time that we're together. Take care. Hi, everyone. This is Eric Pennington with The Spirit of EQ. I'm not introducing a new episode today. I'm here to tell you some things that might help you. Jeff, you're with me as always. So
yes.
How do people get in touch with us?
Well, the best way is just send us an email at info@spiritofeq.com.
That's awesome. Jeff, I was also thinking about reviews, and I'm notoriously bad at asking for them, so reviews on all of the platforms, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
You think that'd be good?
I think that would be great because, one, that will help us learn how to make better ones, and it's always good for us
to hear. So we're not the perfect podcast hosts?
We're close.
Okay, all right. But
not,
still.
Not totally
perfect.
We want your feedback. But it also might let us know a new subject. Hey, we need to dig deeper into that.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think.
Cool. We really appreciate that. As always, too, there is social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and we also have a YouTube channel. Those also have mechanisms or options for you to be able to leave a comment, a like, or those kind of things. Just want to make sure that you know how to get in touch with us. Right, Jeff?
Right. We appreciate you all.
Thank you. Once again, we really appreciate you tuning in today. One of the things that Jeff and I want to bring to your attention as well is that when we created this podcast, it was not intended to take the place of a clinician. In other words, if you find yourself in a place where there's something deeper going on or something that you cannot solve on your own, we do recommend that you reach out to a clinician of some sort. This podcast is purely opinion-based, and it is rooted in the desire to help you along your path in whatever way we can. However, it is never going to replace, nor should it ever be looked at as a replacement for clinical help in any way. Thanks again for tuning in.